Well, in fact, it's probably
reverse,
the other way
yeah.
around. Not probably, surely the other way around. We are thoughts that have learned how to create the physical machine. We are impulses of intelligence in a larger universe of intelligence. This is a thinking universe. We are impulses of intelligence in a larger void of intelligence that have learned how to create physical matter. We create the mind. We are not the mind. We create the mind. We create the body. And through our body and our mind, we ultimately create the experience of the world. By itself, the world is just quantum soup. It's a radically ambiguous, ceaselessly flowing field of all possibilities. And out of that field of all possibilities, we can create anything we want. We're like King Midas. Only he knew only how to create gold. Everything he touched turned into gold. We can create anything we want.
Greater level of choice.
Much, infinite choices.
Yes. Tell me, what is the body?
If you went to a physicist, a really first-class physicist, and asked her, what's the real...
Asked her, I like that.
Asked her, what's the real nature of the physical body? She might say, if you could look at it, not through the artifact of sensory experience, then you'd see, which is, you know, the superstition that what I can see and touch and taste and smell is the way things only are. That's wrong. After all, my senses tell me that the earth is flat and nobody believes that anymore. The senses tell us that the ground we're standing on is stationary and we know it's spinning at dizzying speeds.
Or the light we see in the sky at night is still there when it may be gone millions of years ago.
Exactly. Yes. So forget the superstition of materialism and begin to see things as they really are. Well, the physicist would tell you that the body is a dynamic field of energy, information, and intelligence that's constantly renewing itself in every second of its existence. That you, in fact, make a new body once a year. That even this moment, you have a million atoms in your body that were once in the body of Christ, or Buddha, or Genghis Khan, or Leonardo da Vinci, or Saddam Hussein, for that matter. That your physical body is a river of intelligence and information. 98% of all the atoms come and go in less than 1 year. You make a new skin once a month, a new skeleton every 3 months, a new stomach lining every 5 days. Even the brain cells that you think with as carbon, hydrogen, nitrogen, and oxygen, they weren't there 1 year ago. And the DNA, the genetic material, which holds millions of years of information, the actual raw material, the carbon and hydrogen and oxygen, comes and goes like migratory birds every 6 weeks.
So let me ask you a question. Somebody has cancer, and the first thing that the average person does, obviously, is immediately respond with horror, with fear. They immediately are told by their doctor they have so much time to live, or they have so much percentage of chance of living. They now think to themselves, I have this thing in my body I've got to get rid of. What you're saying is that thing in their body they call tumor is not going to be the same tumor a year from now. Is that true?
It's true. If I look at an x-ray and see a tumor and I compare it with the tumor from 6 months ago, am I really looking at the same tumor? The answer is, on the material level, no. Every single atom of carbon, of hydrogen, of oxygen, of nitrogen that makes up this tumor is not the same, is different from the tumor 6 months ago because of the rapid changeover.
Right.
However, because the underlying quantum mechanical framework is the same, in other words, the cellular memory is the same, or the underlying physiological processes at a non-material level are the same, it keeps coming back the same way. It's like if I had the ability to change every brick in this building once a year, but I'm stuck with the notion this is the only way to do it, I'd get the same looking building every
right.
time. If I want to get rid of this tumor, I have to exorcise the ghost of this tumor. And by the ghost of this tumor, I mean the impulses of information, energy, transformation, memory, conditioned response, all the things that structure the non-physical aspects of the tumor that result in this physical expression. It's estimated, for example, that we have 60,000 thoughts a day. That's not surprising. The disconcerting thing is that most people, 95% of the thoughts they have today are the ones they had yesterday. So we become bundles of conditioned reflexes and responses constantly being triggered by people and circumstance into very predictable biochemical outcomes, behavioral outcomes, mm-hmm. and ultimately physical outcomes. So, you know, the body turns over 6 billion cells a day. 1% of these are mutations. So everybody's body has cancer cells all the time.
That's right.
But we get rid of them every day.
The problem is, though, if we keep putting the same cause in motion, the same thought cause, the same belief cause, the same expectation cause, then we're going to keep getting the same results because we're going to take the material and we're going to translate it accordingly. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly, exactly. The recipe remains the same. You can take the same ingredients, have another recipe, and you'll have something else.
Because we're funneling it in identical ways.
Exactly.
So until we change, it sounds complex, but what we're really saying is until we change our basic core fundamental beliefs, our sense of certainty about what is and what will be, then whatever we are certain about will be in our lives, as we think so we'll experience.
Exactly. In fact, Tony, what it is it's an interpretation of what's happening to you. If I go out on a joyride on Magic Mountain in Disney World, and my interpretation is at a deep level, somewhere, I believe, as you said, in the deepest part, this is fun. Then my body makes interleukins and interferons. These are powerful anti-cancer drugs.
That's right.
If you had to buy interleukin to treat melanoma or kidney cancer, a full course would cost you something like $40,000 and a lot of side effects. But you could take that joyride and make $1 million worth of interleukin too, if at the core of your being, you were having fun. On the other hand, if your interpretation was this is terror, then you'd make cortisol and adrenaline and all kinds of things which destroy the immune system.
Yes.
The difference between destruction of the immune system and stimulation of the immune system, a difference which could mean the crucial difference between life and death, is an interpretation.
You know, one of the things that I teach everyone is that your experience of reality is information times focus equals personal reality. And it's not just having the information, it's focusing upon it. Whatever we focus upon becomes real for us. So in any moment, there are millions of ways of focusing upon anything, interpreting, coming up with a meaning. Whatever meaning you come up with, you will feel. What you're saying is that whatever meaning you come up with, you'll not only feel, but
it
the fact that you're feeling
reality.
It, it becomes your reality biochemically.
The chemical, the molecule, is the meaning.
Wow.
The molecule is the meaning. If an experience, I take an experience and I say, this is a very tranquil experience. I'm having the experience of tranquility at a deep level of awareness. My body, my leukocytes, my adrenal cells, my macrophages will start churning out Valium. This Valium, unlike the one that you buy from Hoffman LaRoche, is the real diazepam. It is the molecule of tranquility.
Yes.
And it modifies and modulates the activity of the immune system so that cells can do their job in tranquility. The meaning that you give to an event is the event.
Yes, exactly.
Is the event.
What I call it is the label you put upon experience becomes experience.
Exactly, because there is no such thing as actual reality. There is only the perception of reality.
That's correct.
See, and that perception of it is an interpretation that the self makes to the self.
So if you can become more effective at setting up your systematic way of interpreting life experience so that the meanings you consistently create are empowering in terms of emotions, then they're also going to be empowering in terms of physiology.
They structure, they become the physiology.
Wow.
See, the Vedic Rishi, from where this knowledge, my knowledge of Ayurveda comes, says, when I realize who I really am, I realize that I'm not in the body. The body is in me. I'm not in the mind. The mind is in me. I create both the body and the mind through my self-interaction. That's all there is.
You're saying that we aren't thoughts. We're the maker of the thoughts.
Yes, we are the thinker behind the thought, and that's in the gap between our thoughts. And in the gap between our thoughts is a little window, a little corridor, a little transformational vortex, you might say a little tunnel between which the individual mind and the cosmic mind communicate. The cosmic mind being a larger field of non-local field of information and energy. So if I say I'm going to take off my shoe, I could change that sentence to say I'm going to put on my shoe. Or I could say I'm going to make a phone call or I'm going to have chicken soup. Between the going to and the next word, a little gap of silence where there are infinite choices. So in every second of our existence, we have these little gaps where we are the thinker behind the thought who has the ability to make infinite choices.
And at any moment, we could change the choices we made in the past.
Right.
As long as we don't go into cultural or personal hypnosis where we get stuck in a pattern.
As long as we realize that we are not the thoughts. We are the thinker of the thought. The thought is something that I create through my own self-interaction. And for that, I think there's a moment, if you take, to stand behind and become a witness of the whole process,